This is from Luke, the first chapter. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But Mary was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God, and now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I'm a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived and borne a son. And this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. The Gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. The time has come. The world is ready. A time has been appointed by God, and for whatever reasons, whatever things need to be in place, are in place. An angel shows up to a young lady, a lady engaged to an older man, and announces to her, "Peace be with you, for the favor of God is upon you. You will conceive a son. It will be the Son of God. It will be known as a king. It will be known as the Most High. It will be known as Emmanuel, which means God is with us." And to this response, Mary says, "Let me do the Lord's work. Let me do God's will. May it be so." Those must have been hard words for Mary to say. She's just been given this news of an incredible event that was about to happen, that she would conceive in her virginity, and that the son that she would bear would be special. He would be unique. He would have great expectation. He would be in the line of David. He would rule over the house of Jacob. He would be the king of Israel. He would be the Son of God. And her answer? "Let it be so. May I do God's work." That's quite an answer. What is God's work? What does God require of us? What does God ask of us? What are our expectations? When God shows up in our lives and says, "I have a job for you," how do we answer? Do we turn the other direction? Do we answer like Moses and say, "Not me, Lord. There's better people, there's smarter people. Pick them." Or do we answer like Mary? "May it be so. May I do your work." We read in the Old Testament from Samuel an interesting story of King David. The Jews have had a perilous history. They've come out of Egypt. They survived for 40 years in the desert. They've wandered around. Joshua has taken them through great military conquests. David has been anointed king. Israel has defended itself from armies. It is finally secure. It finally seems to be at peace. And David is living in a beautiful cedar house. And David wonders to himself, what about God? What about the Ark of the Covenant? Where is God living? He's living in a canvas tent. This distresses David. And so the prophet Nathan comes to David and says, "David, this is the word of God. I am the Lord your God. I have brought you out of Egypt. I have carried you through the desert. I have planted you here in Israel. And I can darn well take care of myself. And if I want a house, I'll build myself a house. Do not worry about me, David. Worry about your people. Be concerned with the unfortunate among you. The widows, the orphans, the sick, the outcast, the foreigner, the stranger. These are your concern, David. Do not worry about the lavishness of my house. Do not worry what people say of me or think of me. Worry about those around you who need your help. In this we find the will of God. Concern for others. This baby, this Jesus, will grow. He will preach. He will teach. He will perform acts of wonder. And they are all directed towards care of the other. From the parable of the Good Samaritan, to the feeding of 5,000, to the healing, to calling the disciples, to establishing the church, to sending the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. It is all about caring for the other. Our mission, our mandate, is to open our hearts and care for the needs of others. We come to this Christmas time, and God has set things in motion. God has come into our world. As John told us last week, God has brought light into darkness. Our lives have been illuminated. Our world has been illuminated. We no longer live in the dark, so to speak. We are to recognize the right from the wrong. We are to recognize the needs of others. We are to recognize the work of God in the world. For the light of Christ illuminates things for us. We are to see things with Christ-like eyes. How do we roll up our sleeves? And how do we get involved? It has been 2,000 years since Jesus came. It has been 2,000 years since Jesus walked across the desert. It's been 2,000 years since Christ preached powerfully, since Christ healed people, since Christ established the Christian church. But guess what? The poor, the sick, the marginalized, the outcast, are still with us. Our mandate remains the same. To reflect the good news of God in our lives. Things seem different. The technology we have, the language we use, the way we dress, the food we eat, where we gather, all seems very different and very foreign to those people 2,000 years ago. Even the story of parents walking across a desert for a census with a camel, sleeping in a stable, of magi and angels showing up, all sounds very foreign, very unrealistic, very impossible. But is it? The same needs are still around us. The poor are still here. The sick are still here. The hurting are still here. The marginalized are still here. The foreigner is still here. The light of Christ illuminates this for us. It shows us that there is a need, that there is a calling to us to work in God's name, to serve others. Christ came into the world to serve the world. We are called as followers of Christ to serve that same world, to bear the same gifts and fruits of the Spirit that Jesus did, to bring healing, to bring reconciliation, to bring the good news of God, to use our resources, our gifts, and our talents to create a world that more closely resembles the kingdom of heaven than the pits of hell. This has been our calling since the beginning. It was God's urging to David. It was God's call to the prophets of Isaiah, Hosea, and Amos, Nehemiah, and Jeremiah. It was the word of God through the voice of Christ. And it's our good news today. That we have a knowledge of this one who is Emmanuel. Of this one who is God with us. As Christ came into the world, as Christ grew, we are called to grow. To grow in our faith, our acts of love, charity, service, prayer, and support. We walk with Jesus. And to those who are outcast, marginalized, hurting, poor, sick, the foreigner, we are called to be Christ to them. Our question is, will we answer as Mary? May your word be so. Amen.